acknowledging that you know that it's going to be difficult for them could, for a lot of people, could be the answer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some might say, well, no, for sure, I want you to do that. Some might say, oh, you know, whatever, you need to feel out. I mean, there might be different strategies and you need to consult or think about how you go about that. Or if or those who go to shul, for example, you know, there might be someone who's lost a husband, God forbid, or divorced, for example, and then normally the father will take the sons to shul, and you know, you need to sort of navigate how that's going to happen. Is someone going to do that? Is someone going to reach out to them? You know, all those kinds of things, right? There are lots of different things. And I think that's part of a community, means that we look after those people who could be excluded. So yes, community can create that problem, but also community should be the solution to it. You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. And it's another week of the JP Show. I'm Rabbi G. I'm here with Rabbi Levi. And I'm not sure what we're going to talk about yet. Rabbi Levi is going to tell us. But have you recuperated from Purim yet?
Recuperated from Purim, and now it is pre-Pesach, which
Ooh.
for most people involves cleaning for Pesach. I go to Melbourne for Pesach, so that gets me out of that.
How does it actually work? Because you still have chametz in your house, right?
So there's this concept of selling your chametz to a non-Jew, which, by the way, if anyone wants to do that, it is a very big thing not to even own chametz on Pesach, no matter what your religious level is. This is something very easy. You can just fill out a form. If any information, just email. If you want any information, email us and we'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah, and it'll be on some of the emails anyway.
So
But
my
just to
cleaning for
clarify, it
Pesach
doesn't mean that
involves.
everyone can do this, meaning we all fill out that form, but it doesn't mean you don't have to clean for Pesach if you're living in your house,
That's
because you
correct.
only sell chametz that you lock away,
That's right.
kind of thing. I mean, that we sell everything, but you it's mainly made for chametz that you lock away. And since you're locking up your house, so you're very lucky.
Right, but we're still getting ready for Pesach, spiritually speaking. And I'm going to help you, please God, next week.
Always do
Because I don't know if everyone's aware about the Gerari household customs. I think I've actually done a JP show about it, about covering the kitchen and then all of these things. It all takes a lot of work, so I'll
Yeah, for
definitely.
those who remember, my wife doesn't let me invite anyone for the first time on Pesach. They have to have been to our house a few times before.
That's right.
Otherwise, if they only come Pesach, they'll think we certified crazy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe it's true, I don't know. But anyway, but bottom line is you have to have come once before at least.
So, talking about Pesach and Yom Tov in general, this idea of, you know, we're just coming from Purim, going to Pesach. You know, in Judaism, every few days is another, every few months is another festival,
Right.
and another reason for people to get together. So there's a big emphasis on community. I think in particular, actually, with the Pesach Seder, I mean, you know, people are on various religious levels and different journeys, but Pesach Seder people do. A lot of people do, even people don't do anything
Apparently,
else.
by the way, I once saw a research study. It's the most observed Jewish ritual.
Yeah.
Even more, of course, than going to Shul, Rosh Hashanah, more than Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur,
Yeah.
which is fascinating.
So families get
Which, by the way,
together.
in parenthesis, actually, in a way, makes sense, because it's really the essence of Jewishness
It is. It's the
when we're born
foundation of
as a
our
Jewish
story.
nation. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's where it all begins. So I wanted to talk a little bit about actually loneliness, because with, you know, time that everyone gets together, we'll see. We'll have a few questions about that down the line, if actually getting together helps loneliness. But I actually, just before we did this, I just Googled how many people feel lonely. And you know, obviously you have to take this with a grain of salt. This is AI, Google, whatever it is. It's quite high, actually. It seems to be like one in every four people, one in every five people. It's a common thing that people feel lonely. I don't think that means that one in four people live alone. I don't think that's what it means. But people feel lonely. So first of all, let's actually define the term before we get into the problem. What does it actually mean that people
Okay,
feel
are we going to
lonely?
come back to sort of what you do about it on Pesach? Because I think it's actually a really important point.
We will talk about that, yeah.
Okay, so first of all, loneliness, as you say, I mean, loneliness can be lonely. For example, maybe we'll come back to this, but on Pesach, someone could feel really lonely if they don't have a Seder
Mm.
and they don't have a family. And there are people like that, so that's important to think about. Let's come back to it because it's a really important thing. But I think it's also important to understand more deeply that Loneliness, as we know, is not about being alone. There's two things. You can be in a room full of people. You can have 3,000 Facebook friends or Instagram friends, followers, whatever you call them, and you can still be very, very lonely. And yet you can have very few friends or even be alone sometimes and not be lonely at all. Right? So lonely is much more of a state of mind, it's much more of an emotional existence, and it's about feeling disconnected from others, right? I think that's also important because, I mean, that's important on so many levels. By the way, there was during COVID, I know it's not good to mention COVID, but during COVID, which is Pesach, when it all started, it was very, everyone thought that the older people are going to feel really, they're going to be impacted the most by loneliness. It turned out it wasn't necessarily the case. In fact, young people were very impacted by loneliness. Because it turned out that older people seemed to have deeper connections with people. And therefore, even though geographically they weren't able to be with them during COVID, but they didn't feel as lonely, they feel more connected. Whereas younger people, sometimes the connection are more superficial. So you need the physical person in the room to feel to feel connected. And therefore, that was a real problem. So it's a feeling of disconnected, it's a feeling of isolation, it's a feeling of being isolated. You can feel very, very lonely. When you don't feel understood, for example, when people don't, you're going through something and no one understands or no one knows what you're going through. You could be with so many people, but nevertheless, you're suffering alone. There's so many forms of feeling lonely, but being alone and lonely are two different things.
Yeah. So why do people feel lonely? What is the cause of that? I mean, seemingly, as you said, we're much more connected than ever before.
We're much more connected on a superficial level.
Yeah.
In fact, on the contrary, we are. I don't know if we've told the story before, but I once, a number of years ago, gave a lecture on communication in Canada. I was visiting my sister, and I gave a lecture there, one of the Binah lectures. And someone came over to me afterwards, and he said, "I discussed what real communication looks like, what human communication is really about." And he says he works for a company that has satellites or branches all over the world, and he's the head of communication. And he said he never really understood how this works. In other words, he never understood that although he's the head of communication and people are communicating and can communicate on one level much more than ever before, but he says the actual real communication has gone down dramatically. Because real communication is not just about sharing info, sharing facts, sharing company data. Real communication is about connection. Right? The human communication is about connecting with other people. It's about relationship building. It's about really a means. Communication is a means, is a pathway to a real deep connection. And we're not so good at that nowadays. Relationships are in trouble. And that's why there can be so much communication, but people can feel still alone because they haven't connected. Now, connection takes effort. It takes effort on both people. I mean, it takes effort on reaching out to people so they can feel connected, but also it's effort on the person who's alone. You need to work on connection. You need to work on reaching out. Sometimes you need to work on sharing things, right? So one source, I think, of loneliness is that lack of connection, which sometimes comes from lack of communication or lack of empathy. Or empathy is also something that's gone down since the invention of the iPhone or the smartphone, right? There's studies on it because people are not noticing them, just into themselves and into their own devices and so on. So when there's empathy, when there's understanding, when there's communication, there's loneliness. When there's more connection, when there isn't those things, then there's loneliness. But also loneliness has a lot to do with purpose, values. When you live in a community or you live with friends and you share values and you live a life of values, and those values are important, then there's already a common thread. There's already a bond, right? A little bit like, even on a very basic level. You go on a plane and you don't know anyone, and then you see someone, and you think, I think that person's Jewish. I saw them ordering a kosher meal, and suddenly, like, you warm up to them and you catch their attention, like you're quicker to say hello, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Or you heard them say a Yiddish word or something.
Well, I
Oh,
must say it's only on a plane. It's actually interesting. Like, even if I go to a doctor's office or when my wife's in the hospital after having a baby, whatever it is, and is like a Jewish doctor, but they don't openly dress Jewish, they're not religious, whatever. They always make sure to, because I obviously am obviously Jewish, they
little
always
bit.
make sure to put in something into the conversation that I'll realize they're Jewish. Like, they'll ask me, how was your Rosh Hashanah or something. It's very interesting, but it's very interesting.
But if you go on, if you walk in the street, you're going on a plane, you're going to, for example, you don't look for, like, if you're a lawyer, you don't look for the lawyer. I mean, if you happen to be here, conversation is one thing.
That's right.
Because Jewishness is very intrinsic and it's very part of
Yeah.
who we are, right? Now, particularly when there's common sort of practice. I mean, like, it's amazing when I travel, you go into a shul, for example, it's you feel at home right away. It's the same service. I mean, it could be in, I was recently in Vienna, in London, in Prague. It's the same religion. It's the same thing. So
Right.
values, intrinsic identity, all that kind of stuff goes a long way to address loneliness. Also, besides communication and empathy and reaching out and feeling understood and so on.
Sure. Do you think people used to be more connected?
I think so, because first of all, people were much less into, I mean, there were always people that fell through the cracks, I'm sure, but people used to be less into superficial communication like we are today. People don't communicate today. I mean, there are people who sit on their screens for hours, right?
Yeah.
Communicating very superficially, going through social media, posting stuff. That's not communication. So people had to connect more. You had to look for friends. You had to talk to people. You had to talk to people at the bus day, at the bus stop. I mean, you had to really connect people much more than we do today, right?
Right.
So therefore, that connection was obvious. It still took work. I'm sure there were people who were lonely. There's always people who've been lonely. But I think it's more of a modern problem.
So it's a sort of interesting thought. Like, we speak about how we're part of a community and we share values, and therefore there's definitely less of a reason or to feel lonely, and it's, you definitely feel at home and you see another Jew and all that. But in a way, does part of a community actually have a danger of creating more loneliness? And I'll tell you what I mean. Because we're part of a community, so if you fit into the molds, I'll give you an example, a painful example, right? A big part of the Jewish community is having children. I mean, that's a massive focus of being Jewish. You have the Seder is centered around children. You bring children to shul, and there's children's program. And the whole Judaism really is actually very family focused, right? So what happens if someone doesn't have a family? If they're not married, or they don't have children, or through no fault of their own, it's just the way it is. Isn't there a danger because we have a mold, and because we have sort of everyone's doing the same thing, that actually more people will feel more lonely?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is yes, but the danger can or should be the solution as well. What I mean by that is that because we have a community, so yes, there are people that are going to feel left out, especially around, if we can come back to it, around Pesach or around Yontif in general, where there's such an emphasis on family and such an emphasis on children and all that kind of stuff, right? And family invite each other and family get together and so on and so forth. So someone who's here from overseas, for example, doesn't have a family, always single, or just hasn't found their match or their partner, whatever, all that kind of stuff, right? So yes, it's a very big danger, but also we have the resources as a community, or we should have the resources, but it takes work. And I think this is such an important thing to mention before Pesach, that it takes work to make sure that the community structure will include those people and make them part of it in the best possible way. And I think this is something we should think about before Pesach. Like, everyone has a circle, everyone has people they know. Number one, we need to think about, like, does everyone have a Seder, right? Does everyone invited to a Seder? Do they have matzah? Do they have, are they properly equipped for to be part of the experience? And if not, we should all think of it as our responsibility to reach out and to do something about it, right? And to make sure they're included in the best possible way. Now, there are different techniques. I'll give you another painful example. There are people who maybe come to a Seder where there's a tremendous emphasis on children, and there should be. I mean, that's what the Seder is,
Right.
right? But for example, it could be a couple that comes to the Seder, and they're infertile. They haven't trying to have children for 5, 6, 7 years and haven't been successful. So there's certain sensitivities. I mean, there are sensitivities. Each person, each one, I mean, it's not for here to discuss how you do that, but sometimes if you're close enough to the person, there could be a conversation you have before the person comes. I am going to focus. Obviously, I'm going to not only focus, we're going to focus on the adults, but I'm going to focus on the children. I want to make sure you're comfortable with that. I want to make sure you're okay with that. Just acknowledging that you know that it's going to be difficult for them could, for a lot of people, could be the answer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some might say, well, no, for sure, I want you to do that. Some might say, oh, you know, whatever you need to feel out. I mean, there might be different strategies, and you need to consult or think about how you go about that. Or if those who go to shul, for example, you know, there might be someone who's lost a husband, God forbid, or divorced, for example, and then normally the father will take the sons to shul, and you know, you need to sort of navigate how that's going to happen. Is someone going to do that? Is someone going to reach out to, you know, all those kinds of things, right? There are lots of different things, and I think that's part of a community means that we look after those people who could be excluded. So yes, community can create that problem, but also community should be the solution to it, and we need to make sure that people don't fall through the cracks, and people, you know, I mean, unfortunately, it always will be, but that's a thing to think about. By the way, it also goes into the Jewish law that before Pesach, one should reach out. I mean, nowadays we can do it through funds, and different organizations have funds and so on. Also help those people make Pesach who are financially struggling.
Right.
Also part of the same thing, but making sure that they will have the happiness on Pesach. The Rambam, Maimonides brings this very, very strongly, and he talks about even more than Shabbos in a way. Yontif is that family is even more, I mean, Shabbos too, but Yontif, it's much more emphasized, every Yontif, right? And we find this idea that Yontif, you know, Shabbat is a happy day, but the happiness is not so much the emphasis, it's more, you know, enjoying Shabbat and so on. But when it comes to Chagim, in the Torah, there's a very big emphasis on happiness. And the Rambam says that you need to make sure that your table, those people who find it difficult to be happy, as he puts, like the stranger, the widow, the poor, and so on, are taken care of, because your happiness cannot be complete unless you've reached out to other people to make sure they're happy too.
Right, for sure. I guess sort of means to say the question in a different way. Like, it's not really about truth. Is it's more of a general question actually. Like, when you have standards or when you have a norm, right, that automatically excludes people in on whatever level, right? I mean, if you have, let's say, a very religious community, so let's say there's a child, who's a teenager, who's not religious, right, or a young adult who decided that no, you know, they're not going to stay together with everyone else, or whatever it is, right? So I guess sometimes the modern way of thinking is let's get rid of norms,
Yeah.
right? But that's obviously not the answer because
No, of course not. So I
we
mean,
believe in things. Things are true, right? So how do we deal with it?
so norms in Judaism is part of the value system. You can't get rid of it.
Right.
So the default has to be the norms, but you also have to look out when someone's not fitting into the norm and do something about it. Change course or tailor make it to them, or obviously without compromising your values, but at the same time, make sure it's inclusive, right?
I mean, it's very emphasized by the Seder, right? We have the four sons.
Correct. It's the
Everyone's
message of the
different,
Seder.
and
Right,
but they're
you
all
have to
sitting by the
do
Seder.
exactly. They're sitting with the Seder. And as the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to point out, that there's four sons. One of them is even the wicked one, the rebellious son, which you have to address and include in the Seder. And you have to pay attention to him or her, whatever the case is. But there's the fifth son, as the Rebbe would say. And the fifth son is the one who never made it to the Seder.
Right.
And part of our responsibility is to reach out to that son as well to make sure they're also at the Seder. Can I just go back to something you mentioned at
Yeah,
the beginning,
sure.
right? About the difference between alone and lonely. I think it's something else to think about, just changing course a bit. A lot of people get, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, some people every Shabbos, but especially when it comes to the Chagim, right? There's this thing about, you know, we're gonna have a large family. People say, how many people do you have by your Seder? And do you have it yourself? Do you do it? Do you go to someone else? All that kind of stuff, right? And people are very good. They tend to have a lot of people, they invite a lot of guests. But you know, there can be a lot of loneliness there too. Unfortunately, some of those things sometimes are the source of conflict, source of faribbles.
That's true.
You invited this one, you didn't invite that one. Or at the Seder itself, there could be people who don't get on with each other. It could be a disaster. There can be lots of people that are included in the Seder and end up with a lot of loneliness. And I think I wanted to mention it because I think if you're talking about the subject already, I think it's important to mention it because I think preparation is needed, right? First of all, try not to be exclusive. Like, okay, you don't get on with that sister-in-law too much, but invite her anyway, because otherwise she's going to be upset. Why make a person upset unless there's very good reason for it, right? And that's something obviously it needs reflection, it needs understanding, and so on. And also think about making your Seder meaningful. So there's a common meaning. So people don't have time or focus to start bickering about old foibles or old stories, right? Make the seder actually a seder. There's lots of material out there to do it. Lots of stuff to engage kids. Lots of articles. Lots of videos. We putting out a whole series of videos now to have insights, short insights for the seder. Please don't play the videos at the seder, but listen to them before and take the ideas away. But there's lots of good stuff out there. So try and make your maybe have everyone. I know some people make everyone focus a different part of the Haggadah and prepare something, or prepare a quiz as you go along. Prepare songs. Make it a joyous occasion. Don't make it all about the menu. You know that's important too. It's part of the Seder for sure. Try and make it meaningful. And try prepare. I mean, each person has a different set of circumstances and experiences, but try prepare that it doesn't become a big seder of lonely people, but becomes a big seder of people who are together and connecting.
That's amazing. Perfect. Okay. So that's going to take preparation over the next few weeks. We have to spend time thinking about it.
For sure, for sure.
All right,
Okay, happy
everyone.
preparation, everyone.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. See you next week.